Chazal tell us in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah that there are a whole group of halachas of Moshe Mesinai that were given that govern the halachas of building a sukkah. There are some areas of halacha that have a lot of halachas of Moshe Sinai. Let's say Hilchos Tefillin has a lot of halachas of Moshe Sinai. Masechet Sukkah has a lot of halachas of Moshe Sinai. Certain areas have more things to Hashbichsa, more things to Hashbapa. Again, we don't. It's hard for us to understand the chacham and the Rebbeinu Shalom. Why the Rebbeinu Shalom puts some halachas, some mitzvahs more to Hashbapa, less to Hashbapa. The bottom line is that there are a lot of things in Masechet Sukkah that are really pure to Hashbapa. And one of them, the Gemara says, concerns the constructing of the walls of the Sukkah. There is a halacha of Moshe Sinai called good asik. So this is a very helpful halacha Moshe Mesinai. As we'll see, we actually do apply it sometimes in Bizman Azeh, both in terms of Masechet Sukkah as well as in terms of Masechet Erevin. Basically, what the halacha Moshe Sinai says is as follows. It's almost built on another halacha Moshe Sinai. There's one halacha Moshe Sinai in terms of the height of the mechitza, or the height of the dofen of a sukkah. How tall must the walls of a sukkah be? So the din is they have to be 10 tvachim. Gemara actually has a machlokes in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah. What is the source for this din? Everybody agrees that the walls of a sukkah are a minimum of 10 tefachim tall. It's not clear whether this is actually based on a pasuk explicitly in the Chumash or whether it's just a pure tersh b'peh. But the bottom line is that din exists. No question about it. That the bare bone minimum of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. So the Gemara raises the question, what's the din if a person builds a sukkah and he makes the walls 10 tefachim, but the schach is nowhere near the top of the walls. The schach is up in the air, another 5 feet up in the air. So the walls don't touch the schach. So on one hand, we have a halacha Moshe Sinai, you require walls of a sukkah, and we require a schach of a sukkah. So the question is, can I just build a wall to 10 tefachim, and I'll stop my schach 3 feet up? So is that acceptable or not? So the Gemara says, if not for this, halacha Moshe Sinai called good asik, I never would have accepted such a thing. I would have thought that it has to be a tziruf, there has to be a connection. The walls have to mamish physically touch the schach. So kamash balon, good asik. Good asik means you stretch it out, means you continue the wall up. Once the wall starts, then the wall goes all the way up l'shamayim. Now, not literally l'shamayim, because the sukkah is more than 20 amos. It's possible for other reasons, but it gives you a pretty big way to go. So you can have a very small wall, merely 10 tefachim. You can have the schach on top of it, and that would be perfectly okay. That's the halacha Moshe Sinai called good asik. So even though this is a very helpful halacha Moshe Sinai, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sukkah that there are some exceptions to this rule. There are some situations that arise that this principle of good asik would not be acceptable. So the Gemara raises the following shadow. What's the din if a person has a very, very strange sukkah? He takes a pillar, and he puts a pillar down in the middle of the street, of his backyard, and the pillar is, say, the proper dimensions in terms of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. The pillar goes up to, it's 10 tefachim tall. It doesn't have to be only a pillar. It could be a big giant garbage can. It could be a car. It could be anything that goes up to 10 tefachim. And then he has chach suspended 5-10 feet up above the top of the pillar. Would that be good or not? So the Gemara raises the question. Maybe that would be okay. You know why? Maybe the principle of good asik mechitza. Why is that? Because the walls... I wish I had a... I need a good... somebody could have this out with. Get a tissue box. Okay. All right. So here's my ground. Here's my tent vachim. So I have tent vachim from here to here. Tent vachim. So if you think about it, when I'm standing on top of here, I'm surrounded by mechitzas. Where am I surrounded by mechitzas? The mechitzas over here. So why did I say, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the mechitzas went from the floor to over here, I'm standing over here, why don't the mechitzas just continue to shoot up? And if I have schach on top of me, so I should be shown by Israel, so why isn't that an acceptable sukkah? Maybe it is an acceptable sukkah. So that's what one day the Gemara says. Abai says, maybe that's not a good sukkah. So here, the guy's standing here, he doesn't see any mechitzas. He can't see anything because the mechitzas are below the ground level, below his ground level. So the Gemara concludes that that's not acceptable. Why? Because ba'idun mechitzas nikaros faleika. A new din. So even though, based on logic, that should have been an application of good asik, nevertheless, it's inconceivable that a guy should be sitting in the sukkah and not realize that he's surrounded by mechitzas. Here a guy is sitting over here, he's looking in all directions, he doesn't see any mechitzas, because all the mechitzas are below him. So the Gemara says, that's not going to work. But ina mechitzas nikaros v'leikam. So the way most of the Rishonim Ripshan the Gemara is that even though that principle would work in Hilchos Shabbos, so let's say, for example, if a person is standing on top of this kind of a structure on Shabbos, that is considered to be a Rishus HaYochid. where are his mechitzas? He can't see the mechitzas. It doesn't matter. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's no such din that you require mechitzas nikaros. In Hilchos Sukkah, there is halacha that you require mechitzas nikaros. That's why most of Rishonim, Rashi, most of Rishonim, Limshan the Gemara. So there is a Ritva in the beginning of Maseches Sukkah, where the Ritva says that even though the Gemara tells us that the standards for good asik are different in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Sukkah, because in Hilchos Sukkah it's not enough just to be surrounded halachically by mechitzas, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're surrounded by mechitzas. And in Hilchos Shabbos there's no need, says the Ritva, that doesn't mean exactly what it says. Says the Ritva, what would the din be in Hilchos Shabbos if a person is standing in an area and there are mechitzas surrounding him, but the mechitzas are so far away, they're miles and miles and miles and miles. He has no idea where, he can't even see the mechitzas, they're 50 miles away, but he happens to be surrounded by mechitzas entirely. So the Ritva says that's not going to be good. Even in Shabbos, that's not going to be good. The standards of what's called Nikaros between Shabbos and Sukkah are a little bit different, but even in Hilchos Shabbos, the din is, if you're surrounded by mechitzas, but you don't even have a clue that you're surrounded by mechitzas, they're so far away, so that's not going to be sufficient. What's the Raya of the Ritva? It's a very, very famous Raya. It says the Ritva, those who know a little bit, we need some help from earth science. Who knows a little bit about science? You're learning earth science in school, no? They usually learn elementary school. Usually every year they learn earth science. No, that's the minute. But they don't want to teach me anything else. They learn earth science. So, I'm sorry, you learned earth science for a couple of years, right? So what's someone's in the regions. So what's the din? What's the din right now? I am surrounded by mechitzas. Forget about the Erev and Bergenfield and Dinek and Pagoda and New Milford. We're all surrounded by mechitzas. No, what mechitzas are we all surrounded by? What? The Appalachian Mountains, that's a good one. The continental shelf, right? Yeah. Wherever you go, we're surrounded by some very, very, very large natural barriers. So come to Rishayim and ask Akasha, let the entire world be one big Rishayim. You might almost ask Akasha, says David. That's a good way to save money in the Arab. We don't have to bother checking the Arab. The last we checked, the Appalachian Mountains are still up. So we have the mountains on this side. I got the drop of the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. I got the what's going on in Canada or something? Probably somewhere. What? The Canadian Rockies. Okay, good. Yeah, all right. Toronto, probably something's also up there. Okay. So, but some ice somewhere. So, Bekitza, everyone's surrounded by mechitzas. So, that's a leitzanus. The question is, why is that a leitzanus? So, the Rishonim explained that when you have mechitzas that are so far and so big and so far away that nobody can even, in their wildest dreams, even see the mechitzas, that's always mechitzas. That's like I said, to be mechitzas, even for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos. So again, the Gemara doesn't say this explicitly. The Gemara draws a distinction between Shabbos and Sukkah, but the Ritva writes that even for Shabbos, it reaches a certain point, Yesh Gvul, where the mechitzas are not going to be accepted. So this is a very unlikely scenario where Meshuggah is going to build a sukkah like this. But we want to know, are there any more down-to-earth kinds of cases where good asik we think would help us, but yet good asik is going to fail us? So here, there's another halacha Moshe Pesina we have to acquaint ourselves with. Gemara tells us in Masech HaSukkah, in a few places, there was a special halacha Moshe that we use all the time, and that's called Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma means as follows. Let's say I'm building a sukkah. Yeah, this will be a... Okay, this will be a sukkah. All right, this is good. It's good this way. This will be a sukkah. This is the kosher schach, but all the cardboard part is posel schach. So I have metal on the side of my sukkah. I got ledges protruding on the side of my sukkah. Only in the middle I have some kosher schach. So what's the din? So the Gemara says there's a special halacha Moshe Sinai that as long as it's less than dalet amos of schach posel, so we have a right to say dofen akuma. Dofen akuma basically means is that we have a right to make believe that the wall is bending and the wall is continuing into the including the posel schach, and the end of the wall starts the kosher schach. So as long as it's within dalet amos, that's okay. We rely on this all the time. A lot of people have sukkahs like this that they have ledges coming out, things coming all over the sides of their coming out of the house into the side of their sukkah. So as long as it's less than dalet amos, so that would be acceptable. So come to Rishonim and say as follows: what would the din be if a person has a sukkah which has a little bit of schach posel on the side, less than dalet amos, but the walls don't reach the schach? So what the person basically wants to do is, he wants to almost combine two halacha Moshe Sinai's. It means he wants to first avail himself of halacha Moshe Sinai called good asik, Because again, the mechitzas don't reach the schach, and then he wants to turn around and say, and by the way, not only do I want to say good asik, I want to say dofen akuma as well. So is there anything wrong with that calculation? So come a group of Rishonim and say you can't do that. You're over to. If you want to try to combine together these two halachos of Moshe Sinai, that's not going to work for you. So what's pshat? Why is that no good? So Kiveger has a tremendous chiddush. Kiveger says he thinks that the reason why that's no good is because there's some kind of a klal, I don't know where this comes from, there's some kind of klal in Halacha Moshe Mesinai that you get one kula, each person gets one kula, two kulas are ready to make them. If the Rebbe Hashem gave you a break, you can build a sukkah with one mishunadik away, but to combine two mishunadik halachas and make a wall and a schach out of that, that's not going to fly. So that's what Kiveger's pshat in these Rishonim. So when the Rishonim say you can combine together Dofen Akuma together with good asik, that's synonymous with saying you can never combine any two halachos of Sinai whatsoever. It's not going to fly. It's based on this that the Kivega raises a question that could potentially disqualify many, many sukkahs. So we're going to raise the question, then we're going to say we don't pass like the question, but at least we'll raise the question. So Kivega says a lot of people, when they build the sukkahs, have the following type of a scenario. Very often, so the mechitzas don't quite reach schach. Very often, like the schach is a little bit higher, it's being held up by other things. If you think about it, it's not resting on the schach per se. So why is that okay? That's not a problem, because Gurasik, that's a Perisha Mishnah, that's okay. It's Lach Mosina, that's okay. But very often what happens is as follows. Let's say this is my wall, and my schach starts over here. So if my schach would start directly over my wall, that's fine. So that's Gurasik. So I draw a line and make believe that the wall touches the schach, I'm home free. But very often that's not what happens. Very often, the schach starts like over here. And if you think about it, if I draw a direct line up from here, I don't even bump into the schach. So how can I justify that? So the answer is, that's within three tvachim of where the schach begins. So it says, wait a second. You want to combine now two halachos Moshe Mesinai. You want to draw an imaginary line called good asik, going from the top of your wall to this space where the schach is supposed to be. The schach isn't even there yet. Now you want to make believe that the schach is there based on the fact that it's less than three tvachim away, you just violated the klal gadol that we just made up in Halacha Moshe Sinai. It means you're not allowed to combine two Halacha Moshe Sinai together. So Kivega said, if you follow what I'm saying, so then the entire sukkah is going to be possible in a Torah. So the only problem is, Kivega says, and then Shulchan Aruch says, Beferish, that it's okay. There's a Beferish Shulchan Aruch in Archaim that says, close from the tour, there's not even a Shaila Avadin about this type of sukkah's kosher. We do it all the time. Right? Cops think simple like that, no? You're simple, yeah. Everybody simple looks like that. Shulchan Aruch says, Beferish, that it's kosher. So Kivega says, so we don't pass it like my Shtipel Torah. So he says, oh, Zai, we don't pass it like my Shtipel Torah.
As long as it's less than three
tefachim,
it's all
lover.
If
it's
not lover, not
gerasik. You mean you only need one lover. So let's say have like this. Let's say you have your wall to here, and then the chach dots over here.
Yeah.
So instead of making believe they're going from here and going here, so you just call it one lover. Make a diagonal lover, and that would be good even according to Rav Kivega's kasha.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's a very, very good taina. So I'll tell you the background. I'll tell you the background to my response to your wife. That's a very good taina. So this goes back years ago, back to the LA days. So one year we were building the sukkah, and we had a lot of kuntzim in the LA sukkah. We're not going to talk about that. That was another world. But there was one particular thing that came up here. It was this Rabbi Kivega Cannabis Shaila, and Roni, my brother-in-law, asked me. He said, "What happened to Rabbi Kivega?" I looked at him like he was crazy. I said, he's telling me a whole Torah that if you have a mechitza that doesn't reach the top, and then it's less than three tefachim, so that's what Kivega says, that doesn't work, because you can't combine two halachos of Moshe Sinai. I said, what? I said, how can anybody say such a thing? I said, if it's against Shulchan Aruch, I didn't know that Rabbi Kivega. I said, black on white, Shulchan Aruch, that it's mutter. I said, everybody knows that it's mutter. So he said, no, he heard a Shia once, Rabbi Kivega said it's no good. So challenged me, so I went to go look up the Ruki Vega. So Rukivega doesn't exactly say it's no good. He says that according to Hishtikul Torah, it shouldn't be good, but he's Mevatel Daito. He says, but the Maisa Shekhanov says it's okay, so he's not gonna pass it. But so from then on, I used to get nervous now that he introduced me to Ruki Vega. So he's getting nervous about this Ruki Vega. So I'll tell you what happened. In our sukkah, so our schach doesn't rest directly on the wall. It's held up a little bit. It's about an inch or two from the top of the wall until the actual schach starts. So I used to think that according to this Shtikul Torah Rabbi Kivager, maybe we should be careful to have the poles extend over the edge instead of relying on the loft. So thus, 20 years ago when we bought the sukkah, so the problem was that the poles were made to match the sukkah. So if you extend the poles too much over the edge of the wall, you're going to have a big gap in the middle. So I was trying to work out halacha and metzias. So when I first started to think about being chayshish with Rabbi Kivager, so I used to pull the poles over the edges of the walls, and then I had this gap. So I had to come up with a great idea how to solve the gap. So how do we solve the gap? You know, so we put schach going the other way. So we have our poles going this way, and then we have the schach going the other way to fill up the gap. But then, over the years, so my thoughts evolved a little bit, and I thought to myself, I thought this cheshem was ridiculous. I thought that Aaron is right. I said that, but Medivar Mamurim Rabbi Kivega had a chumra, which he himself says is not really true, but Medivar Mamurim, that makes any sense, that's if you have walls that'll say 10 tefachim, your schach is starting 10 feet higher, now you want to rely on a mamish, one good asik, and a lover together, Kenzai, that's a problem. Here, I'm not relying on good asik, it's one lover. I'm just drawing the lover line diagonal instead of drawing the lover line sideways. So what did I forget? Dalmihoch a good asik. I don't need good asik. I never heard a good asik. I missed out on Loch Mosh Sinai. The sukkah should be kosher just based on love it alone. So in my later years, I came to the realization that even according to the Machmir or the Machmir of Rabbi Kivager, I said, it doesn't make any sense. But you know, the Gemara says sometimes that Mishnah Lozazim in Koima. The Gemara says that sometimes the Tanoim said something, and then even though they backed out from it, but Rabbi Yudan Nasi still quoted the first half of the Mishnah Lozazim, because it somehow became part of the Lashon. So somehow when we build the Sukkah, that minik still sticks with us. And I still push the poles out a little bit. I still put the zechet, the chorv zechet to the days when I used to think that was unnecessary. But between me and you, as the years go on, as I get older and older, I think it's less and less necessary. So it's all zayin, but Mustam will build it that way tomorrow. Anyway, that's the way we do it. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So, against that Rabbi Kivega, the Pasha Dvarim is that even when you have a situation with good asik, there's nothing wrong with combining a good asik and a lover together. So this shaila should now play out in Hilchos Shabbos, it was Erevin as well. Many, many of the halachas of building mechitzas for sukkah and building mechitzas for Shabbos and Erevin are identical. Many of the halachas of Mashtinas carry over one to another. And l'chora, we find this halachas of Mashtinas playing out in Hilchos Erevin as well. The Gemara says in the first Bechamah says Erevin, that when you build what's called a Turas HaPesach. So Turas HaPesach is you take one pole over here, one pole over here, and you throw something across the top. Either you throw a piece of wood across the top, or you throw a wire across the top, anything across the top, and that's considered to be basically dealing like mechitza. It's a big machlekes rishon, how that works, when it works, limitations that it works, but the bottom line is the first Mishnah says Erevin quotes this idea of Turas HaPesach. It's interesting, the Gemara never says what the mokhor for this idea of a Turas HaPesach is. So there's a Prima Godim that suggests that maybe it's not only Midrabanan, maybe a Minat Torah, there's no such thing as Turas HaPesach, but the Pashas in the Poskim is that's not true. The Chazon Ish writes that Avadit Halach Moshe, Avadit's part of Hachos Mechitzas, there must have been some tradition about this idea of a Turas HaPesach. So the Ma'aseh says there's some kind of a Dinah Turas HaPesach. It's the first Mishnah that says Erevin, the Gemara talks about it in Nafid Alf, it says Erevin. So the Gemara has a machloikis, when you build a Turas HaPesach, let's say I put a pole over here, must the top wire rest directly on the pole? What if I have it suspended 10 feet up in the air? Is that okay or not? That's what's called Tzrichin Ligo, Ein Tzrichin Ligo. So the Gemara's machloikis about it. And the Gemara concludes that Ein Tzrichin Ligo. There's no need for it to touch. It's perfectly kosher l'chatchila as long as it's suspended above. So what exactly does that mean that it's suspended above? So b'chora, let's say this is one of the poles of my Turas HaPesach. There's another pole of my Turas HaPesach, and I want to make a wire. So b'chora, the wire has to run mamish on top of the poles. What if the wire is off a little bit? What if it's not directly above the poles, but if you draw a straight line up from the pole to the top, so you're within three tefachim of where the wire starts. So based on Hilchos Sukkah, what should be wrong with that? We just said Shulchan Aruch, everybody agrees, Lamai said it. What? So the chari, that should be okay. What's the difference? If it works in a chesukah, why shouldn't it work in a chesayrvin? The chari seems to be the same halacha. So the Yochai Shulchan has in passing such a line that he says, yeah, he thinks it should probably be okay. I said, nobody holds that way. No, nobody holds that way la halacha today. We assume that even though in chesukah we have a right to somehow combine those two halachos, we're sinais in chesukah erevin, we don't have a right to do so. What's the difference? So maybe one could argue that din, that when you build it to a pesach, so the wire can go above the poles, it could be that's not even based on hilchos gurasik. It's not even so clear that gurasik applies to a tzuras pesach. Could be it's based on a different type of halach. Again, a whole another story. But whatever it is, the pashas of all the poskim, all the gedolei poskim, except for the Yochai Shulchan and maybe one or two other poskim, the pashas dvarim is that for a tzuras pesach you don't have any kulas, and tzuras pesach the wire has to go directly above the pole. Why is this so important for us? It's very, very important for us because 90% of our Erevin are based on this principle. When we build an Erev today, so most of our Erevin are based on Tzuras HaPesach. So Baruch Hashem, the phone companies, except for in Toronto, where they don't have all the wires underground in Toronto. Check. Next time you go home. Okay? So that's why building Erev in Toronto is a disaster. What? I don't know, maybe that's why, I don't know, but it's much more difficult to build an Erev in Toronto, but because they had to start from scratch. But in America, so we build Erev, and all the Erev are done for us by the phone company. So 90% of the Erev is up before you even touched it, because you have telephone poles and you have wires going across the poles. Everything is great. The only thing is that the Gemara says that the wire on top has to go al gabeyan, not minatzad. So with some telephone wires, depending on the made, sometimes you have a pole here, and the wire goes on top, and sometimes the wire goes in the middle of the pole. So the wires that go on top are great. The wires that go on the side are a disaster. So how do you solve the problem? So you have to put a make-believe pole. You have to put in your own pole. You have to knock in a little lechi, knock in a piece of wood or plastic or something to the side of the telephone pole. And then that becomes, in effect, the new pole. So technically speaking, that bottom piece that you're knocking in doesn't have to go to the top. As long as it's 10 tefachim tall and is directly beneath the wire, so that should be perfectly okay. So the problem is that it's very, very hard to tell whether it's directly beneath the wire or not. If we would have passed like the Zohar HaShulchan, like the Din HaSukkah, Shulchan HaSukkah, that's good in Erevin, that would have been great, it would have been like very easy for us. But the problem is that we don't pass in that way. So we pass in that Erevin that you're not allowed to combine the two. So we have to make sure that the wire mamish goes literally directly on top of the pole. How in the world are you going to figure out that it's directly on top of the pole? So there are two fundamental opinions in poskim. How do you make that observation? So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that the Torah was given to normal people. It wasn't given to Meshagasim, with scientists, with Maizaloch. It was given to a regular Poshita guy. And how are you supposed to tell whether it's under the pole? You take your eyes and you look up. So it looks like it's under the pole, till it's under the wire to me. If it looks, if you're Oysid and Dayan, that it's under the wire, that's good. So the problem is that if you do it that way, in reality, it will most never be under the wire, because the way our perception is, it's very, very difficult to stand and look up 20 feet up and see whether it's actually under the wire. But it doesn't matter whether it is or not. Lo b'shemayim, the Torah was given to the way it looks, the fear is in Adam. And many, many poskim disagree and say, no, that it has to be b'metzias, it has to mamish be under the wire. So how are you going to make sure it's under the wire? So there are two ways of doing it. Either they plumb line it, that's one way, that was the old style way in Europe. And the modern way in America is they shoot lasers up and to try to see whether it's under the wire or not. But in the early years, many Erevin were built with these kinds of setups. They would put a pole, they would knock it a lechi to the pole, they would either plumb line it or laser it up and make sure it was under the wire in Shalom Yisrael. In the later years, so a lot of Erevin don't like to do that anymore. that they like to go all the way to the top. If you go all the way to the top, then you know you don't have to stop playing games with plumb lines, with poles shift. If you go all the way to the top, so then it'll be okay. So it just needs a little bit more work. It needs a little bit more work when you start it, but hopefully it'll save you time and work at the end. So this whole Klinsen, this takes up a lot of our resources that are there to make sure that all these makeshift poles that we put up actually reach the top, or at least directly under the wire. This is all because we're not comparing Erevin to Sukkos, even though we're not quite sure why we don't, but that's what the poskim say against the Aruch HaShulchan. We assume that they don't apply. So the bottom line is, we have this very, very handy halacha mashdina called Durasik. It doesn't always work for us. It doesn't work when you have Mechitah Shein Nikaros. It doesn't work when you have Doif and Kuma together with it. It doesn't work totally. I mean, it works a little bit in terms of Erevin, but there are certain limitations to it. But it is still pretty handy halacha mashdina. So we do rely on it sometimes. We are relying on it in the Shul Sukkah on one side, and on the fourth side we're relying on it for really a Chumrah Gabi Chumrah Gabi Chumrah, because there is a question, Yadua, we're not going to talk about it now, but Yadua, the Machlekes, Apelske, about canvas walls that are moving are big Machlekes. So those who use canvas walls try to do the Lovitz strings, the Lovitz straps. So if you put strings every three Tvachim or so, less than every three Tvachim, so then Mikra Din, that would be okay. You just Dam Yach, ignore the canvas, and the Sukkah is pretty much made up of the Lovitz strings. One of the things is, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that claims that Taisa said that by Medivam and whom you can build such a makeshift sukkah, which is a shvacha sukkah with only strings, that's only if you build a four-wall sukkah. But if you build a three-wall sukkah, so somehow that's not going to work. So the Chaznish says he doesn't understand what in the world that means. If the sukkah is kosher with three walls, the four-wall doesn't exist. But the Maaseh Mishnah Berurah says it. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that when you want to rely on love, but you have to have mechitzas in all four sides. So those who build mechitzas of the Lovitz straps, so usually relying on Gudasik, because they don't make the straps go all the way up to the top. They only make the straps go up to 10 Tvachim. And let's say on the fourth side of Asuk, so instead of putting straps, because you put straps this and then nobody can walk through, so we stuck in a board for 7 Tvachim tall. So 7 Tvachim wide and 10 Tvachim tall. It doesn't go all the way to the top of the Schach. So the answer is it doesn't have to go all the way to the top of the Schach. We're relying on Gudasik. So Ashul Sukh, believe it or not, is relying on the Schach Moshini of Gudasik. Because, again, according to those who say that the canvas is no good, if you're really relying on the strings, so then you have to fall back on Gudasik to some point. So I think the Schach does go all the way over the edge, so we don't have to get involved with Kivegas. So I think we're home free, and even if it doesn't, so we rely on the Shulchan Aruch and all the Ramon, the Tazman, and Ramon, all the Gedolei Apostolim, never heard of that Chumrah of not combining the Torah. Anyway, so again, we just got a little bit of a taste, a little mashu to get started.